One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
And even without being asked, I actually provide the information on this is what's happening in Japan and this might be helpful for the US operations. And I get somehow more fans of me, but no matter how long I waited, that assignment never came from the management. So I thought it's almost the time that I show my courage to say what really wanted.
Why did I become an executive coach? I saw lots of great people fail to get ahead at work, while their much less talented peers blew right past them. That made me furious, but also curious. What were great people getting wrong? It came down to helping them re-examine what drove success and then helping them make critical shifts, one hard truth at a time.
Feel like you're doing everything you were told, but you're not moving ahead at work nor having the impact you seek? Then welcome to 97% Effective with Michael Winderoth, where we skip feel-good, happy talk and engage experts in pointed conversations about what it really takes to move the needle at work and your career. So if you feel stalled or frustrated or seek that extra edge as you move to the next level, then look no further. This is the Hard Truths Playbook you never got.
Hi, I'm Michael Winderoth, and you're listening to 97% Effective. Hey, bad things happen. Your assignment is coming to an end, and you are not excited about where your company plans to place you. Or the economy goes into a downturn, and you get laid off. What's an effective way to overcome career obstacles and setbacks? I can't think of anyone better to share his own experience and strategies on this topic, especially since he just got laid off at his company, than my guest today, Koichiro Nakamura, also known as Kane. Kane believes that you can't control what happens, but you can control how you react. And what I like most, he's very systematic and bold in his approach, perhaps a mix of his Japanese and US roots. Kane Nakamura was most recently in enterprise sales at Udemy. Prior to that, he held progressive and senior roles for more than a decade at SoftBank, based in Japan, China, and the US, and before that at Cable and Wireless, working in Hong Kong and Japan. Kane holds a BA in law from Rikkyo University in Japan, an MBA from the University of North Carolina's Flagler School of Business, completed executive education, and also where he serves as a course facilitator at Stanford's Graduate School of Business. And to top all that off, is currently working on his doctorate in education at the University of Pennsylvania. We're going to discuss Kane's proactive moves to surmount three big career obstacles and setbacks. No question, he told me, is out of bounds. He, more than anyone I know, wants to share his learnings with others. Kane, honored to have you on 97% Effective. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael. It's my true honor to be on your podcast.
Kane, to start us off, you're actually my first Japanese guest on 97% Effective. But then when we were talking and I did some research, I found out, well, you're not Japanese. But then like maybe you are, or maybe you're transnational. We are all now multi-ethnic, multi-nations, because you are many things. And I think this is one of your strengths. And to provide a little bit of context going into our interview today, could you just share a little bit about your multicultural background? I mean, bottom line, just who is Kei Nakamura?
Got it. Sure. About who I am. Born in Evanston, Illinois, moving to Japan when I was 5. When I was 15, my father got an assignment in the US. I begged my father to take me there. And he begged his company to take family together. That was the beginning of my multicultural journey. And looking back my life, I moved 28 times, living in 20 cities in 4 countries. It was a quiet journey, but I feel so happy about it.
And so how do you even identify yourself? I think this is a question sometimes I get. I mean, when people ask you where you're from, what do you say?
That's the most difficult questions.
And, you know, sometimes it's you want to give the full story, but like, you know, what do you say when someone says, where are you from? You clearly look Japanese. You are Japanese, but...
Yeah. Yes. I guess both my parents, Japanese, probably my soul is more like all Japanese. But the beauty of getting exposed in many countries, interacting with many people from different perspectives. So one of my strengths would be I'm able to put myself into other shoes because I interact with so many people from different culture and background. Yeah.
And I know that you say that pretty much everywhere you go, you create a community, you build a community around you. And that's going to be something we talk about that's really helped you overcome some pretty big obstacles and setbacks. Given the obstacles and setbacks that you've navigated, is there one hard truth you would just share here at the outset to those out there?
Sure. I like to say that life is not easy, and sometimes it's harsh. And the most recent hard truth is that I got laid off. And it was a month ago, and it was just a week before I started practitioner scholar program at UPenn. And my mentor told me, on any new journey, you may feel at times that things are not going the way you expected, but push through. So since then, I kept the word inside me and always remember when I start my new journey. And I embrace obstacles and setbacks positively and move on.
So let's talk about how you push through some of these obstacles. And I mentioned there's three here that I think are pretty big that we want to talk about, mainly about how you have done that, some of the mindset, some of the strategies. And yeah, pushing through, a lot of people associate that with just kind of brute hard work. And there is no shortage of that with you, but there's also these additional strategies that I think are really, really useful for other people to hear. And so take us back. You were at SoftBank. This is around kind of mid-career. You're having a great career with them in China and Japan. And in your head, you wanted to go work in the States, right? That was a dream. But there really wasn't kind of a clear opportunity to go work there. And for some context here, I know that many Japanese companies can be fairly rigid in their policies and so forth. But walk us through this. Why did you want to move to this? States, the resistance, and then how you eventually made that happen. I think this is a really interesting obstacle to talk about.
Thank you, Michael. The main reason stems from my son. The answer to why trace back to my birth. The meaning of being born in the U.S. has always been something that I'm reflected on. And I returned to Japan when I was 5 and grew up until 15. And during that time, I get so many questions from my classmates and friends asking me, can you speak English? Can you tell me anything you know about the US? And so on. And I was not able to answer any of it. Literally, I knew nothing about the US culture, history, and even language. So when I heard my father got an assignment in the US, I was over the moon with excitement. What happened, though, was that without knowing my excitement, my father thought it's better that he goes to the US alone, while his two sons started the new life in Japan, where I started my high school and my younger brother started the middle school. So he told the HL that he was going alone without telling his family. And together with my brother, I put our knees on the ground and begged my father to take us to the US. And he realized how serious we were, and he was finally convinced. He went to the HL and asked and persuaded them to go with family. That decision of me convincing my father greatly influenced the direction of my life took afterwards. And going back to my son was born in North Carolina. It was 1.5 months before my graduation from this grad school. When I got the job in Japan, we moved back with while my son was just 2 months old. And it felt strangely familiar, like a deja vu. I was worried that as he grew up in Japan, he would encounter the same challenges I did in my youth. So I promised my little boy, no matter what, we'll go back to the US. It took a decade, but I kept my word, and we moved to the US 6 years ago. You know, why? How did I make it happen, you ask me? I simply asked. I sent straightforward email to the CEO of the US office saying, I want to work in the US, primarily because I want to raise my kid there.
And let me cut right in there, Kane, because, okay, so, you know, you think about companies, let alone a Japanese company, you think about protocol hierarchy.
Yes.
Here you go, jumping the chain of command, writing a letter, being very almost transparent about why you want to go there.
Yes.
That feels like it's like totally breaking protocol. That does not sound like something that's commonly done. You had a purpose there. But what kind of led you to seeing that as an effective strategy? I mean, there's probably some context here. You were in SoftBank for a while. You were a high performer and respected. Yeah. But you go straight to the top there, right? The decision maker.
Yeah. I think the sense of purpose that I told you, I really wanted to go to the US no matter what. That actually was my driving factor. But when I recall, I probably did some homework or the preparations to make things happen more positively. So what I did is that what is the value? I thought about what is the value I can bring on the table when I move to the US. So I spent a lot of time to get a trust, interaction with my colleagues in the US office and help them. And even without being asked, I actually provided information on this is what's happening in Japan and this might be helpful for the US operations. And I get somehow more fans of me, but no matter how long I waited, that assignment never came from the management. So I thought it's almost the time that I show my courage to say what really wanted. My true passion to go to the US is, as I explained, is to raise my kid and spend a family there. But I also show that my capability and the potential of increasing the business in the US through me joining to the organization. And surprisingly, 3 months later, after I sent email, I found myself in the US. My boss made my desire come true.
And when you sent that letter, yes. I mean, let's take you back to that moment. Okay, so it does help here to know that you were very proactive in being helpful to U.S. colleagues across the board, you know, adding value, pointing out things, not waiting to be asked about that. Yeah. And then when you were sending it, you had the sense of purpose, but a lot of people will chicken out or, you know, they worry there's going to be downsides, you're going to get backlash. Mm. What was going through your head? Or how did that eventually, kind of, you said 3 months later, you were in the States. Connect the dots there.
Sure. So it was the at the end of the final day of the year. And I received a response from him after the New Year break, which is the 10 days after the holidays. He sent me a message saying that, thank you for your message. I felt your seriousness. Because I know how serious you are, I needed time to think about it, how I can make it happen for you. I'm not the only one who can make a decision. So give me some time. It's not promising, but I will do whatever I can do to help to make it happen. That was the message I received at the first day of the new year. 3 months later, I received an invitation from his secretary, in-person meeting with my big boss. I thought it's the chance for me to present what kind of contribution and the value I can bring. When I entered the door, he said, congratulations. I convinced the e-staff, and now you're ready to go. That was it.
You've been listening to 97% Effective with your host, executive coach Michael Winderoth. If this interview is making you think, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, back to our interview.
So Kane, fast forward to today, right? It is a pretty big, bold move to send a letter, go over the heads of people. Is there a kind of calculus there?
Okay, maybe a few things. Based on my experience, don't assume that the people know what you want. Because if I didn't send that email, probably he have never realized that how serious I am going to the US and how capable I am to help the US operation organizations. So don't assume, my message, don't assume that the people know what you want.
No, I think it's a very good lesson, at least for us to be aware, especially in large organizations. Not everyone knows what you're doing. There are silos. Mm. People are busy. They're not always thinking about you and, doing it in a thoughtful manner. But you were going to say, you were going to add to that.
Yes. And the second lesson I learned is that I remember the proverb I like, it's a journey of 1,000 miles beginning with a single step. And this phrase conveys that even when faced with this significant goals or lengthy passes, the most important action is to take the first step. And once you take the first step, continue it. So that is something when I have a dream of it. It's not just I spontaneously think I should send this to the boss. I have thought long time, and I prepare it . But it didn't work, so that it's high time that I should express what I wanted to my boss explicitly.
Yeah, I think this is something that you say quite well. You do a lot of blogging. I encourage people to read your posts. They're very thoughtful about, voicing the importance of voicing your aspirations. And when you've laid the groundwork, the bold steps there, certainly, because people aren't thinking about you. And I think this brings us, that takes you over to the States. And then it comes time, right? A lot of overseas expatriate assignments come to an end and it's time to go back to headquarters. So if you fast forward then a couple of years after that, which is actually when we first met,
yes,
you wanted to stay and remain in the States and not return back to Japan. That feeling was very strong, but the kind of momentum and the protocol in the company was to move you out. So let's talk about overcoming that kind of obstacle of, hey, I want to stay here. This is kind of my life work plan, but it was at odds with the company.
Yep.
Share, please.
Sure. So when I landed on SFR, San Francisco Airport, I knew from the day one that my expatriate assignment could end any time after 3 years, because that's a rule of thumb and so-called the fate of expat, we say. So I thought about it, and how could I be staying longer in the US? Obviously, I need to open the new door, but how? So while I was in the business development role at SoftBank, meeting with entrepreneurs and venture capitalists and connecting them with the MI stakeholders back in Japan was my main role. And throughout my work, I became so curious about the Silicon Valley ecosystem, but knew nothing about at the beginning. So I reached out to the people and asked them. And I learned that such ecosystem exists not only in the business, but academia field. So I was fascinated to join the academia community, but how? My answer was simple. It was being a student. I searched in the program and found about the Stanford the GSB reprogramming. And that decision of me joining the program greatly influenced the direction of my life in the US to afterward. So I met you in the program. You are my course facilitator of the Power course, and you supported me by all means when I found out how I could stay in the US longer. And do you remember that you told me that the great questions to ask yourself each week? Would I have done this had I not taken the course? If there's not anything in your plan action that challenges you or feels you out of your comfort zone, then you're probably not pushing yourself enough.
And in the context of that course, I mean, you were embracing different strategies of influencing, building a network. Absolutely. Say more. I mean, I really want to call out that you really sure. pushed yourself, you know, in terms of developing there.
So that message, feedback, that lifted me up so much and encouraged me to get my comfort zone literally. And that feedback is my Bible. I still look at in the end. So I found my dream job and joined Udemy. And it was at the end of my third year at the SoftBank. And people wondered, how did I find my dream job? And it's the combination of luck, people connection, and timing. I saw the massive potential and growth opportunities in the online learning arena. And it's also the people connection.
Mm. Yeah, say more about the people connection, because again, you see the whole ecosystem, you're curious enough to learn, you know, how it's working. You see this bridge into it through academia, using kind of Stanford as a base to further build a network and mentors. You've alluded to mentors. So say more about the people, because that's, you know, a little nebulous and I think understates really how much you built a community and you really reached out to people. What were some of the things you did?
Got it. So I feel very passionate about the connecting the people and connecting the people and business and people with ideas in business. So I kept on doing that even before I moved to the US. And once I came to know about this is the area of my interest, which is EdTech, it was easy for me to reach out. I found the Udemy is a top learner. And I thought about, who do I know in the Udemy? And I have someone who I knew. I was introduced by my friend. So I reached out to the friend working at Udemy and told him that I'm interested in opening position on the internet. I found the internet. And he responded back to me saying that, Kane, do you know what? There is also another opening positions which might fit better for you based on your track record or experience. And he said, I'll connect you with the hiring manager, whichever you're interested in. I look at it as he advised that introduced the position seems to be fitting more. And I responded back to him. On the following day, he connected with a hiring manager. I had an interview with the hiring manager on the following day. And 10 days later, I was signing an offer letter.
Mm. Yeah. And so tell us too, you joined Udemy. And I've also had guests on the show who talk about, hey, exhaust all paths inside your company, right? And so even if SoftBank has a path for you back, there may be other opportunities to craft. Were you kind of working on multiple fronts, or did you kind of go all in into networking around EdTech, for example? What was kind of how'd you allocate your time in terms of that job search?
Oh, a job search. So as I said, I was so lucky, and it's the people connections and the timing. And Udemy at the time was looking desperately looking for someone who is bilingual, who knows the culture of the business in Japan and the U.S. So he wants someone, they want someone on the ground in the U.S. who's looking after the Japan B2B market. So I was there at the right timing and at the right place. So I didn't spend much time on the job search interview process.
And can you also talk about at Stanford, I know you love that program. We're talking about the LEAD executive education program there. You know, I think that was the beginning where you started to blog, felt comfortable posting on social media. We're also invited in to kind of present and share your experience.
Yes.
Share more about that, because it's also not necessarily right along a lot of my Asian clients to advertise yourself, right? And to put yourself out there. I know that's maybe something more young people are doing these days, but talk about how you made that transition and feel comfortable about the posting and the social media and what that's done for you.
Okay. So I started blogging when I finished the READ program for my self-reflection in the first place. And I realized maybe sharing what I have been through with others may be somehow useful for them. And the feedback or the reactions I received throughout my posting became my fuel. I'm doing just for myself, but just sharing my experience, and I didn't realize how much impactful or influencing others' behaviors from what I found, the feedback I received, the comments I received from for the audience.
So it was really about processing and sharing your learning, and that feedback that came back to you was kind of fuel, kind of feedback or different perspectives, versus to simply say you were doing it to kind of create visibility or branding. It was more of a sharing and processing exercise that had this side benefit, unexpected side benefit.
Exactly.
And I think that, you know, even takes us to, you know, as I was preparing for this interview, you know, and then all of a sudden I see this post, right, that you had been laid off. And it was a very public post. I think people are feeling more comfortable doing that. But most people, it's not the first impulse to say, I've just been laid off. Tell us about that sharing, you know, what was going through your head and the surprising reaction that you got.
Got it. So for those who have not read my posting, probably I'd like to start sharing what I wrote. I posted about my experience in public, saying, with the company restructuring, I was told that I had been laid off. It was in the middle of a business trip, and I got the news while sitting in my car at the rest stop in Los Angeles. It was right before a client meeting. It was not the best moment, but sometimes life surprises you. And I texted my wife, and her reply, congratulations. That really surprised me in a good way. And it was a strong reminder that this could actually be a new opportunity. And her words gave me the strength to look at things differently. Then my friend said, such things happen for a reason. He didn't say it out of sympathy, but with a sense of hope and belief that something better is waiting. I cannot thank him enough and really believe that when life gives us a challenge like this, it's a chance to see what we are truly capable of. And you only live once. So I'm ready to embrace this new chapter. And there's a lot to look forward to. And I'm excited to see what comes next, to be positive. That's the message I posted.
And then talk about the reactions that you got. Oh,
it was so surprising that in a day, I received the reaction from over 800 and received the over 100 comments. Some people, even the people who are not connected directly, somehow read my posting throughout the mutual connections. They said, that was so encouraging because I'm in your shoes. I also laid off recently. And I was didn't have any courage to post and share it in public, but you did it. And the people whom I don't know thank me for what I posted. And that was a very eye-opening. And I'm so glad that even my sharing my experience is going to influence someone's behavior positively.
What about I'm curious how like your Japanese friends or maybe the friends back in Japan. Again, it's pretty bold to just say, hey, I've just been let go, right? Redundancy. What was there a difference in reactions?
Yes. While my non-Japanese friends saying more like a congratulations and, oh, now you have a great chance waiting for you. On the other hand, my Japanese friends who are not accustomed to be laid off, they cannot imagine how it is. A lot of them says that before they say congratulations, they actually feel sorry for what happens. That was interesting to see the different reactions.
And I always think it's interesting, right? When so we could say like everyone says, oh, you know, a new chapter is going to open. It was meant to happen for a reason. Sometimes these can be cliches until like the next day and the phone doesn't ring anymore. But that actually was not the case. And that's what I want to ask you, right? So some surprising things happened, partly from that post, partly from a lot of the groundwork you had laid, networking, having mentors and, you know, even sponsors and coaches. So I mean, I recall you saying like opportunities came almost immediately. And in fact, the irony is now Udemy's one of your clients. But how soon did this happen or how did those opportunities start to come to you?
Yes. Thank you for asking that. It's very, very surprising that soon after I posted on the social media, a lot of people reaching me out. If there's anything I can do to help, please reach me out. And while others says that, would you like to join my company? And I'm going to Japan right after this podcast. And hopefully when people hear, I'm probably in Japan, I'm going to meet a lot of people who actually reach me out and ask me for job opportunities, which I have some of the positions which I have never imagined.
Simply by voicing some of your aspirations, putting yourself out there, and you had a pretty live network to begin with, right? You were doing a lot of posting and sharing. And so those have started to come to you already.
Yes. And the beauty of posting, I realize, is that let's say that I have someone whom I want to reach out and to get connected for a business person for some reasons. And we build connections on the internet, on the internet, and finally meet in person for the first time. Because he or she reads my posting, the blogs, they're very friendly from the beginning. Everyone says that, I don't feel like it's the first time to meet you. I feel like I know you for a long time. Maybe because I keep on posting who I am, that is sort of a help me to feel the gap, feel more closeness with each other.
Yeah. So you're off to the races assessing opportunities. I saw you even set up Kanan Partners LLC because you're probably starting to invoice pretty soon. This is clearly the start of a new journey. You're working on your doctorate here at the same time. Kane, a couple questions I want to ask you here as follow-up because, you know, your posts and certainly the way you come across here, you are sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, very transparent about things and very helpful. I mean, there's never been a time that I've reached out and you haven't responded or I've seen you help a lot of others. You know, one of the things that I've talked a lot about on the show is sometimes in corporate environments, you know, those who give a lot get walked over or taken advantage of. And because you are so giving, I'm curious if that you've experienced that or how you protect yourself from those who may be very transactional or want to take advantage of your work or your generosity. Does that come up?
What came up in my mind right now is that I feel if I feel mad about it or feel not happy about it, maybe it's because I expect something in return immediately. So if I see it, you are giving, not just because you're expecting something in return, you're just doing because you feel like you like doing it. Even if there's no response, there's no thank you response or no return, I don't feel bad. And I know from my experience that on the long term, it coming back. Mm. And I'm patiently waiting. Maybe it's not directly coming from that person, but someone is watching your deeds. Mm. And I remember when I was in college, I was very into the tennis and in tennis team. And every time the senior students took me out for the dinner, they never let me pay. And I feel sort of guilty. It's not like a once or twice. Okay? Every time in the next, a few years. Do you know what they said? Everyone says that if you feel something, you don't necessarily have to feel guilty. But if you think that you're getting something, you're going to return to the incoming students. So it's like I'm paying forward. Yeah. I'm doing this because I have met a lot of mentors in my life, including yourself, Michael, who encourage me and inspires me. So what I'm doing probably giving back to the to what I in return, I cannot give back to you or my senior people because they have everything. And they said, oh, I don't need it anymore. So in return, I'm giving back to someone who needs my help.
Yeah. So you're really playing the long game, and it just comes from a place of that people want to help. Yeah. Yeah.
And I realized that the significance of the friendship, and you never know, it's like air. You don't feel that how precious your friends and families are. And you realize that when you lose it or when you are in the difficult circumstance, when you get help from them, you realize that significance. And this is the moment I truly feel how powerful the friendship and the meaning of having a family.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's an invisible and very powerful currency, one that you have a lot of. I also want to ask you, particularly since you're going back to Japan, you'll be there, you said, for about 10 days. Yeah. And I'm sure you're going to meet up with old friends or others who you may have talked to in a long time. Hmm. You know, when they see what you do, I feel like sometimes there's this risk of posting. And, you know, a lot of people feel that's very risky or adverse to doing it, putting yourself out there, making some of these bold steps.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone feels, and the evidence would show that those things can pay off, how do you get them to think about it? Or if they're very reluctant to take a first step or experiment with things, yeah. What would you be advising?
Yeah. I will say, look at me. And I'm not a Superman. I'm like everyone else. And even like me, when things happen, I take it positively. And I like to encourage people that don't be afraid of being vulnerable. Mm. And you are not always not alone. So as you mentioned, believe in the power of voicing who you truly are and what you want. And otherwise, people don't know you.
Yeah.
So I'll say, let the world discover you.
Fantastic, Kane. We have covered these obstacles and setbacks. I think there's lots of very practical advice and, you know, inspiration in there. Is there anything I didn't ask here? A question that I should have?
No. I'd like to share one of my favorite quotes.
Hope
it's helpful for the audience. If you talk about it, it's a dream. If you envision it, it's possible. But if you schedule it, it's real. Mm. And I truly believe in that.
And there is that element. Yeah, you can think about bold steps. You can think about voicing, but you know, being proactive, thoughtful about it, but doing it, taking that action, and that leads to many good things.
And it's okay to fail. And I like to, especially for the Japanese audience, and they are not inclined to take a risk because they are afraid of being failure. Mm. Believe me, I fail so many times that the biggest lessons I learned, mostly from failures, not from success. Mm. So especially when you're young, fail. Having many failure experiences will make you grow as a person.
Yeah. I think also when we're younger, failure seems so immense, but the risk associated with it is very low, particularly early in your career. Go for it. Go for it thoughtfully and to take those steps in the right direction. So thank you, Kane. I know people, you're primarily on LinkedIn, but other ways that people would see your work, see your blog, connect to you?
Google Kane Nakamura. There'll be a three Kane Nakamura. One is me. The second is the character of a One Piece, a well-known Japanese manga. And third is a professional wrestler. And I'm one of them. And if you, I'm so happy that if you just send me a direct message on LinkedIn that I hear about you from the podcast, I like to reach out. I'm happy to be connected. And you can find, once I'm connected, you can find my private email address that you can send me for anything.
Kane, you are obviously an amazing company. My son, Will, who loves One Piece, and then World Wrestling, I think, embodies some of your boldness, if I might say so. Fantastic interview. Thank you so much for your time, Kane, talking about overcoming career setbacks and obstacles. Thank you.
It's my true honor. Thank you so much for this great opportunity.
Thanks for listening to 97% Effective, where we skip happy talk and help you break through and ascend one hard truth at a time. Help others discover this show. Leave a review and rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you like what you heard, you can get free resources, including the first chapters of Michael's book, Get Promoted, on his website, www.changwinderoth.com. That's www.changwenderoth.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.